Council. My name is Renee Hernandez. I represent Quincy Wimbush, who is the defendant in this case. I'm a court-appointed attorney signed by the magistrate and have subsequently been appointed by this court to represent Mr. Wimbush. The court has the brief in its possession, and the key and relevant points I just want to emphasize is that on May 16th of 2000, at approximately 11:50 or 2:05 in the morning, my client was driving a purple Ford Explorer all by himself, one man, one black man, traveling in a poor Rockford neighborhood. At that time, he was subjected to a stop by an Officer Murr. Officer Murr would stop him on the basis that there was a shooting approximately 15 minutes earlier, that approximately a mile away that occurred, and the car allegedly matched the description of the radio dispatch. And the motion to suppress, which was filed on Mr. Wimbush's behalf, and there was a hearing held, evidence was introduced by both Officer Murr and Mr. Wimbush. But there were some problems with, at least from our perspective, there were some problems with Officer Murr's description. His description has this maroon vehicle and a Sean Burks, who is allegedly driving this vehicle, who was the shooter of these victims, who apparently knew him. And they described this vehicle and this Sean Burks, a black man, and there was also additional evidence of additional men who were involved in the shooting. At least at this juncture, I want to point out that it appears that there's at least one man, possibly two others, that were involved in the shooting. Well, so Sean Burks is named as the suspect in this case. My client driving along, and Officer Murr sees this vehicle, a purple Ford Explorer driving along, which he gets behind and he follows. He observes absolutely no illegal activity, no smoking of cigarettes, no swigging of a gin bottle, no improper traffic violations, nothing wrong with the vehicle. That's in the record. Well, notwithstanding that, he effectuates this stop on Mr. Wimbush. He stops him, and remember, the basis for the stop is because of a shooting. There was a shooting in which bullets were fired at people and there were victims. So the officer then brings into evidence that he approaches the vehicle with only a weapon drawn, and he approaches the driver's side of the vehicle, and his testimony says that he at that point asked for a license and insurance. I submit to this court that that representation and Judge Reinhart's interpretation of that evidence is incredulous, and I do that respectfully, but for an officer to say that he believes an individual is a potential suspect who just got through shooting somebody or multiple people, and for the court or the officer to approach him so cavalierly, and it appears that he just pulled it out and didn't require Mr. Wimbush to leave the vehicle, to put his hands out where they can absolutely be seen for his own safety, all right, it defies logic. So he approaches him. Mr. Wimbush has a different version of how he comes in, that he immediately comes in, takes the keys, pulls him out of the car, basically puts him in custody, puts him back in the back of the squad car to include handcuffs. The officer disagrees with that version. Notwithstanding that, it is our contention that the point of the stop, just the initial stop, is wrong from the get-go. That the officer didn't have the initial reasonable suspicion probable cause to stop the vehicle in the first place. Period. All right. What are the constants? Well, a Ford Explorer. Well, it was admitted in evidence. There's literally thousands and thousands of Ford Explorers out in the community. And what was the other constant? Mr. Wimbush was black. Well, there was another black individual's name. And it is our position that the gut instinct by Officer Murr when he stops Mr.
How far was the stop from where the crime was committed?
Approximately a mile. Right. So it's gut instinct that he's doing it approximately a mile away. And it should be noted that all of the evidence against my client comes in after the fact, nothing before. After the stop, everything is created. Everything is justified. Everything. All the evidence against him, all the basis. So it's the initial stop is where we're focusing on here, and we believe that it would be right for this court to look at that, and when you see that, even with the standard that's out there, and there's a de novo review, and to review the testimony, et cetera, I think that there is a clear error here when you look at it in the totality of the circumstances for that particular portion. Then you don't get on to the next portions.
Well, we're seven blocks away, and don't we have a shiny rims aspect of this Explorer that distinguishes it even if the color isn't a perfect match?
Well, I would again say to the court that just about any car can have shiny rims, and there's
no,
really...
it's an aftermarket item. I mean, you said there are thousands of Explorers, certainly there are, but I suspect most of them ride on the rims provided as original equipment. I mean, that's kind of a distinguishing thing. Sort of like blacked out windows sometimes is used if that's part of the description of what you're looking for.
I think if it would have been the blackout windows, I certainly think that would have been that key to help the officer. But shiny rims in and of themselves, I think if the court looks at just walk outside, you'll see cars of every shape and description, and you'll see both the manufacturers and aftermarket.
But don't we have to take it with the seven blocks, the right make of car or SUV, and the rims? I mean, I don't disagree with that, Mr. Hernandez, but doesn't that add up to a little bit more for the officer?
From my position, Judge, I don't think that helps at all. I think it's just another car. I mean, it's such a routine thing to have, for any car to have, that in and of itself leaves something to be desired. And that is our position. And in this particular instance, they talk about the shiny rims. And then we also have a police report, which I question Officer Murr about. And I say, well, Officer Murr, in your police report, where is this mention of the shiny rims? Well, it's not even there. Well, I mean, they write these things contemporaneously with the incident, and yet, it's not even in his police report. Well, that's the testimony. So I find it incredulous.
I thought the dispatcher had said shiny rims.
Well, that's what he's saying, but it's not even in his report.
Why would it be?
Well, it would be because he's doing a narrative of his description. He's trying to relay the information accurately so that when he does, in fact, go to court, he can remember. Now remember, this is an officer who says he has hundreds, if not thousands, of traffic stops in which he's dealt with people. How would he know one guy from the next to the next to the next? Because they become clouded if you don't write it down. Well, that's the procedure police utilize to memorize and to assist their memory with time. In addition, we believe that in the alternative, that the sentencing by Judge Reinhart was incorrect in that hitting Mr. Wimbush or placing the obstruction charge against him and then subsequent refusal to give him acceptance points, I think would be error. And we say that because even though there was a plea agreement, Mr. Wimbush received no benefit from this plea agreement, period. And I know the court has consistently treated it as a contract, and if you get something in return, then you're stuck with that deal. Well, Mr. Wimbush received absolutely zero from this contract, so they can't say that they gave Mr. Wimbush any benefit whatsoever. So
and he wasn't the person who had shot these other people.
No, he was not. He's an individual who was charged with the weapon.
That was the only charge.
And that was the only charge, Judge. So with that, Judge, we believe that it was improper for the obstruction. Also, there was the issue of drug usage and alcohol usage. So with that said, we believe that you cannot get to willful and intentional lying to the court, and I think that's necessary to get to that obstruction. And those 5 points mean a big difference to my client. And we're asking this court to review this and to reverse it and to allow us, Mr. Wimbush, basically to our first proposition, but in the alternative to allow him to allow Mr. Reinhart to resentence him.
Thank you, Mr. Hernandez. Mr. Olson?
Thank you. May it please the court, counsel. The district court properly found that the stop of the defendant's vehicle in this case was supported by a lawful Terry stop. Officer Murr had several reasonable articulable facts which supported his stop of the defendant's vehicle. First, the officer was aware that the shooting had occurred, that it had occurred only 15 minutes prior to the stop of the defendant's vehicle, that it occurred on a street nearby, on Elm Street, approximately 7 or 8 blocks from the location where the officer was sitting. And lastly, that the suspect was a black male driving a what was described to him to be a burgundy or a maroon Ford Explorer with shiny rims. Approximately 15 minutes after the shooting, Officer Mim observed a black male matching the description of the defendant driving a vehicle which matched the description of the suspect's vehicle. That was the basis of the officer's stop. It was not simply, as the defense has argued, a racially motivated stop. The officer had several articulable facts on which he based the stop.
You say the defendant matched the description?
The description?
The officer said he matched the description he had of the defendant?
I believe the officer testified that the description that was broadcast over the radio, that the description was that the suspect was a black male, possibly a person by the name of Sean Brooks, or Burks, and that he was driving the vehicle that was described. I believe that was the testimony of the officer.
But the description of the individual himself wasn't much more than that he was black?
That he was a black male. That was what was broadcast over the radio to the officer. I would also point out that there were actually several descriptions of the suspects that were deduced at the scene. The defense attached as an exhibit to its original motion one report in which one witness was interviewed and indicated a description of the suspects and a description of the vehicle. There was, in fact, other witnesses which were also interviewed contemporaneous with that. We attached a copy of that report to our response in the district court, which indicated that there were other witnesses that described it not to be a Chevy Blazer, but a maroon or burgundy Ford Explorer.
Was the person ever caught who had shot these people?
I'm not aware of the person that actually did the shooting was ever caught. We did note in our response that the gun that the defendant was in possession of was examined by a ballistics expert, and the ballistics report indicated that the firearm that was in possession of the defendant that evening matched the shell casings that were found at the scene of the shooting. So there was evidence that firearm.
But he was not prosecuted for
it. No, sir, he was not. Once the defendant was stopped, the situation quickly matured into a situation where there was probable cause. When the defendant, first of all, failed to produce a driver's license, when he was asked to be removed from step out of the car, the officer observed an open container of alcohol. He also smelled the odor of burnt cannabis, all of which provided ample basis and a variety of basis to search his vehicle, which occurred after that. Regarding the sentencing issues raised by the defendant knowingly and intentionally waived his right to challenge his sentence, both orally in the record at the time of his change of plea hearing, as well as in the plea agreement. That waiver was unambiguous, it was voluntarily, it was knowing, and although the defendant has argued that he received no benefit from that plea agreement, he in fact did receive several benefits from that. He first was allowed to give a conditional plea of guilty, which meant he preserved his right to appeal the denial of the suppression motion. He was also provided a concession by the government and a sentencing recommendation, and was given an opportunity to argue both the obstruction issues and the acceptance of responsibility issues to the district court. Even if this court were to consider the merits of both of the sentencing issues raised, the court should affirm the district court's ruling on both of those matters. The district court made the requisite findings that the defendant obstructed justice by testifying falsely at the suppression hearing, that testimony was willful, false, and also material to the issues under the court's consideration. Based on the defendant's obstruction and his lies at the suppression hearing, the court also denied him acceptance of responsibility. If there are no other questions, the United States would respectfully ask this court to affirm the conviction and sentence of the defendant.
Thank you, Mr. Olson. Mr. Hernandez?
Just lastly, I reviewed the officer's testimony that was provided in the U.S.'s responses in the index, and it does only mention a black male, possibly Sean Burks. And I will advise the court that, in fact, Sean Burks was charged with this crime along with two other individuals, and just for off-the-record information. My client was never charged for that. And with regard to...
Were the others prosecuted or just...
They were prosecuted by the state courts.
Oh, that's a pending matter? Is that it?
I don't know the ultimate disposition. I just know that my client was, in fact, subpoenaed through a state subpoena to appear in court. I don't know the ultimate disposition. As for the sentencing issues, Judge, I think when you look at the fact of the obstruction, there has to be a willful, and I think the U.S. pointed out, it has to be something that's material in the motion to suppress. It's something that has to do with something. I mean, his testimony, if you look at it, and the problems that Judge Reinhart had with it, really, it had no bearing on his ultimate decision, how he was going to get there, right? And it really, how can that particular version, you know, serve any useful purpose from my client's perspective? And I don't think it did. So with all that, we respectfully ask this court to review this decision and allow my client's motion to suppress to be reversed the way the decision came out, and or on the alternative to review the sentencing issue. Thank you.
All right. Thanks to all counsel. Mr. Hernandez, a special thank you for accepting this appointment and ably representing the defendant. Thank you.